though the White House is a little self, has some kind of issue about his time on the course.
I think it's the press that has an issue with his time on the course.
The press has the issue, says Sarah Huckabee Sanders, as the president gets back from vacation. Let's talk about those issues with Joe Concha, media reporter for The Hill. Joe, good morning and Happy New Year, sir.
Happy New Year. I just actually took a morning swim, and I never felt better. I'm in New Jersey, and it's 9 degrees here, and I'm really angry about this.
Wow. So you went to take a swim in the ocean, dip in the ocean?
Jersey Shore, yeah. But I cracked my head because it's ice.
Yeah. Well, we knew you were a psychopath, but let's talk about the other people who are psychopaths in the press, which is this idea of going after the president for his golfing. CNN spent literally the entire Christmas week, which is, by the way, where the most bizarre news ever happens, the entire Christmas week going after the president for having a white truck in the blocking their B-roll footage of his golf swing. What'd you make of that?
Vince, I'd love to argue that it was a slow news week. Problem is that there were deadly protests going on in Iran that should be CNN's bread and butter, 101 stuff from the old CNN. They would have been all over that story 24/7. They would have tried to have reporters in the streets, or at least would have been reporting on it, every single aspect of it. Instead, not only did they concentrate on the white truck, and I think it was your reporter, Chuck Ross, who had counted that in the span of 2 days, the white truck was broached 23 times on their air, but they actually contacted the Secret Service to see if they put the truck blocking their cameras from Trump playing golf. And then they contacted the local police, and they were trying to compare other white trucks in the area to that white truck. And then they wonder why they're attacked, not only by the president, but by a lot of people on social media, and they wonder why they're in third place. Well, that's why. You're getting away from what you do well, and that's international reporting. And I think some guys over there like Tapper and Aaron Burnett and guys, girls as well, are probably looking at what the network does in terms of their coverage and saying, guys, what are you doing?
I wonder, Joe, as you've watched this as a media observer, has their partisanship overtaken their concern for ratings, or are the two one and the same? Have they become more partisan because they think that's good for ratings?
Boy, that's a great question. I would say it was good for ratings. The problem is they finished third last year, and they're the only cable news network that lost audience from 2016 to 2017. Now, think about that. MSNBC surged. I mean, they did very well, and they finished a strong second. Fox was the most watched news cable news network in all of basic cable. CNN lost audience in primetime, which in 2017, which was no one would argue, was the craziest news year. Chaotic, unpredictable, that we've ever seen. And to lose viewers tells you that if that's the decision that they're making, to be anti-Trump is going to get you better ratings, it's the wrong decision. And it hurts their credibility.
Let's talk about this tweet from the president poking fun at Kim Jong-un and talking about his the size of his button. The left literally, again, to use an overused phrase, just lit their hair on fire over this. This is now apparently going to cause nuclear war.
Well, look, I'm Irish. I don't like talking about the size of buttons in any capacity. It's a sore subject for me. But overall, look, I wish the president does this because he says, I think anyway, I haven't spoken to him about it, but we've tried diplomatic language in the past, measured language, and all that's led to under three administrations, Republican and Democrat, was Kim Jong-un and ill before him developing nuclear capabilities. So Trump, in his mind, is trying something different. And look, the North Koreans are now conceding to a certain extent and extending an olive branch to the South Koreans in terms of the Olympics and starting to open talk. So who knows? Maybe on some level this is working. We don't know. But yeah, I mean, now I've seen two folks on CNN actually then start to question again the president's mental fitness when it just appears to be a strategy. You could agree or disagree with it, but let's not start bringing in people's mental illness into this or speculating about it, because again, that's what leads to people saying you're the opposition network, you're not the network trying to just find facts.
Right, the mental illness thing, a regular subject of conversation on CNN. The president also tweeting about this idea that he wants to hold the most dishonest and corrupt media awards of the year on Monday. In his ongoing tit for tat with the press, it seems to me that typically when the president does this, a lot of reporters start going to First Amendment crises reactions to this. What do you think about it?
Sounds to me like the president is exercising his First Amendment right. He's criticizing the press as they criticize them. I'm not crazy about the president saying at 5 o'clock I'm going to announce these awards. I mean, let people like me, media critics, let other members of the press and cable news, let them analyze this sort of thing. I don't know if it's the president's job to do that, but obviously this is a political calculation on his part. 60% of his supporters think that not only that the press is dishonest, they think the press is the enemy of the people. I mean, that's some pretty strong language. 46% of the public, Republican, Democrat, Independent, doesn't matter, thinks that, and there's a political poll that came out, I think, 2 months ago, thinks that the press actually makes up stories, fabricates stories about the administration. So he knows that the press is extremely unpopular right now, and he's milking it for all he can by doing award shows like this. That's my only conclusion on that.
So where does that leave us, though, if we have people believing that the media, the quote unquote media, makes up stories? If we have outlets like CNN just totally not reporting on world events when there is a world event, instead of actually reporting on the event, we talk about the president's mental health. Where does that leave Americans as far as news sources of learning what's really going on?
Yeah, CNN did report on Iran. They just didn't go wall to wall on it the way they should have. They devoted more time to the box truck at the beginning than they did to Iran. I want to make sure you speak in absolutes, and then suddenly other media watchdogs say Joe Concha said CNN never reported on it. Here's a clip. So I just want to CYA on that one. Let's see, where do we go? I mean, I don't know. It seems like everybody's just kind of going into their safe spaces now, the public, right? They're just going to places where their own philosophies, their own perspectives can be verified, where yeah, I'm not putting that probably the most elegant way, but I just think people are going to, not all, but most are just going to sources where they feel comfortable in being in what they're being told instead of, I don't know. I think that the line between editorial and hard news has been eviscerated, and no one can tell the difference anymore when they're watching, particularly cable news, when I think it's pretty clear, at least to me, because I follow it. At night, you're getting opinion, and during the day, you're getting news. But even during the day now, more and
right.
more, I'm seeing a lot of opinion creeping in, like the Stephanie Rules of the world on MSNBC, where she should be just doing anchoring, and she's doing a lot of editorializing.
Yeah, so if you're gonna do it, just be forthcoming about your politics. I think people like that. I mean, that's why MSNBC is actually beating CNN.
Transparency, yeah.
I want to talk about, just away from the politics side, just sort of the media business in general, this idea, like the golden goose theory of who works for you and needing to pay them tons of money. Brian Williams leaves. Hoda was named the new host, and it seems like the ratings have never been better. Brian Williams, all that money they were paying him, turns out it was for nothing.
Yeah, Matt Lauer. You had the Brian Williams.
I'm sorry, I'm mixing everything up. Yes, Matt Lauer, that's right.
It's fine. Same network, right?
Yeah.
But to your point, Brian Williams was getting $10-12 million a year to do the NBC Nightly News, and then they obviously he's ousted from there, at least suspended for 6 months, and everybody's saying, well, who's NBC going to get? Are they going to get Jon Stewart? I mean, that was actually a serious topic for a while, or what high-paid guy are they going to bring in? And they realize they had Lester Holt, who's doing NBC News on weekends,
right.
on their bench. He comes in, he gets better ratings. For like,
yeah.
you know, probably for a lot less money.
Mm-hmm.
And then Matt Lauer, same thing. And Hoda, who's like doing the 10 o'clock show, drinking wine with Kathy Lee, she goes in, turns out the audience loves her. So NBC's like, screw it, we don't have to pay anybody from the outside. We'll just put her in that slot. It just shows you that the days of high-paid anchors are over. Formula trumps individual talent. And we saw it at Fox.
Yep.
They lose O'Reilly, Megyn Kelly, Greta Van Susteren. It's three-fourths of their primetime lineup, replaced them with Tucker Carlson, Laura Ingraham. They move Hannity to 9. They put Martha McCallum in at 7, and they have their most watched year in history.
Ratings have never been better.
Shows you. It's Alabama football.
Yep.
Just keep putting players in. They can graduate or move on. It doesn't matter. Just keep winning.
That's right. Roll Tide. All right, Joe Concha, thank you very much. Really appreciate it, sir.
Georgia wins, by the way.
Oh, there you go.